Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board today as, once again, we face the issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we use the infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is God's Word that is the source book for truth. A lot of folks that are searching for truth in Washington or in Tallahassee or in other places of legislative affairs, as Trey Gowdy said, he discovered that truth is not sought for in Washington, D.C. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the truth book, the Word of God. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth shall make you free. And then Jesus further identifies truth, ladies and gentlemen. I've heard Nancy Pelosi use the phrase, you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free, or she just said, the truth will make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a vast difference in saying the truth's going to make you free and saying, as Jesus did, continue, meno, stay, constantly be in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. And then in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus made a declaratory statement. He said, thy word is truth. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're searching for truth, the source book of truth from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation is the Lord Jesus Christ, his word, God's word. It is the source book of truth, the only way that you'll find truth. And when we face issues in life, regardless of those issues, they may be maybe in the category of the home, the family, the church, or in the realm of government, realizing that God created the home, God created government, and God created the church, and in that order. And so, ladies and gentlemen, anything in that those three categories, we're talking about biblical issues. We need to be cognizant of the fact that the Word of God is the source book for us today. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, the telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. The telephone call gets you directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can have dialogue and discussion together. It was George Orwell a number of years ago said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. But it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that I believe set the stage for what we need to understand today as Christians in particular. Jan Hus said, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. And may I challenge you to make that as your mantra, use that as your life verse or a quote to live by, and let it be truth and nothing else. I would to God today that we had more truth seekers in society. We'd have far less problems in our nation today and around the world. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, to answer all of your questions about power backup equipment and lawn care equipment for the homeowner as well as for the professional. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's located at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Find the gigantic flag, the American flag, on a 165-foot pole right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today reopening with care and nightmare. Reopening of America. America's been closed now for almost 3 months, basically shut down by the turning the switch by the federal government. But as we continue to see the battle across America over businesses and churches reopening, ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing for the first time in American history. Never in our nation's 244-year history have we seen government force businesses and churches to close. Our Bill of Rights have been canceled. Our liberties and our freedoms to worship have been prohibited in violation of our constitutional guarantees. Yet yesterday, ladies and gentlemen, I was delighted to read an article. I follow it pretty closely with Liberty Counsel and Matthew Staver that heads that up. Yesterday, Liberty Counsel was able to get the U.S. Supreme Court to issue an emergency injunction against the Illinois Governor, J.B. Pritzker, to prevent the politicians from bulldozing church buildings in his state. You heard me right. That was the intent. Lori Lightfoot, the mayor of Chicago, had made that bold, brass, brazen statement. Here's the article from Liberty Counsel. Yesterday, Liberty Counsel asked the U.S. Supreme Court to issue an emergency injunction against Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker to prevent the politicians from bulldozing the churches we represent or taking any draconian actions against God's faithful. The Supreme Court ordered Governor Pritzker to respond by 8 p.m. tonight. Please pray that the Supreme Court will deliver our churches from persecution. Further in the body of the article, I just read blurbs to you. It's hard to recognize our country these days. Every week brings new reports of abuse against houses of worship led by elected politicians sworn to uphold, not to destroy, the U.S. Constitution. And make no mistake, any political politician trying to impose their will upon our churches is in direct violation of the First Amendment. Ladies and gentlemen, I have said that for the past 3 months on this broadcast, and yet we see that promulgated across the nation where there's a sense that the governors and mayors, I call them wannabe tyrants, they feel somehow, some way, and they've been empowered to do so because they've gotten away with it in so many cities and states across America. And as a result of that, they feel that somehow, some way, they can flex their muscles and just simply by fiat close churches and businesses. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's not a Bill of Rights, a constitutional right for businesses to remain open, though there's nothing in the Constitution that will allow the federal government or the state governments to simply by fiat order businesses to close. But we do have a First Amendment that says the Congress shall make no law representing the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech. But we have had that taking place, ladies and gentlemen, since the early part of this year across America. And so I am challenging you to simply continue to pray that God will give our professionals, our businesses, our churches wisdom about reopening. I'm saddened to see, ladies and gentlemen, some of our pastors across America that are so spineless, they're saying that we don't think it's safe to reopen yet. We think that we need to stay closed. In fact, some are saying we're going to stay closed until the COVID-19 has gone. Well, they'll probably never reopen if that is the case. But ladies and gentlemen, one writer put it this way, reopening America now, reopen America now. He says churches are closed, but Walmart, Home Depot are open. Stores that are opening are having to take extraordinary precautions as they open up. In fact, let me just read you. It's almost, if we're not so sad, it'd be laughable. But I'm trying to set the stage for where we're going in this broadcast today, talking about the nightmare of reopening. And part of that includes litigious litigation is taking place and shall continue in America as businesses and professionals try to reopen. This article says, reopen America now. Sunday Memorial Day weekend was a beautiful sunny day. Mary and I left our West Virginia home to make a 40-mile trek to Walmart and Home Depot in Virginia. We drove past a Virginia megachurch, which usually has state cops directing traffic for the congregation. The parking lot was empty with a large close sign. Meanwhile, Walmart and Home Depot parking lots were all packed. Around 50% of the shoppers wore masks. Absurdly, I saw toddlers wearing masks also, which were particularly annoying. Professor Dolores Cahill, Ph.D., is a highly credentialed and respected immunologist and a molecular biologist. Professor Cahill, world-renowned, Dr. Russell Blaylock, Dr. Judy Mitzvah, and countless other scientists around the world say wearing masks is very dangerous. Professor Cahill explains that coronavirus is not transmitted through the air. It is transmitted through droplets on the surface. Therefore, there is absolutely no need to wear a mask, no need for social distancing. Professor Cahill says that when you are covered with a mask, you have less oxygen, which puts in your immune system under stress. Because you are under immune stress, latent viruses in your body will reappear. The bottom line, fake news media insidiously hyping fear is harming children, which is not new. Everything leftists cram down the throats of the public always harms people. It goes on to say, at Home Depot, not only did the young woman who mixed my paint wear a mask, she spoke to me through behind a plexiglass window. Stopping for gas in a tiny West Virginia convenience store, a masked staffer stood guard at the door, restricting the number of customers allowed inside. The two checkout clerks worked from behind newly installed glass walls. Both were masked. Dollar Store General had stripes of duct tape 6 foot apart on the sidewalk to ensure that all patrons had social distancing outside the building even, end quote. And the article goes for about a 3-page article, but it sets up the absurdities, ladies and gentlemen, of what's happening as our professionals, as our businesses, as our restaurants try to reopen and trying to dot the I and cross the T to make sure that they're not sued as a result of what they're doing and trying to reopen the businesses. Extraordinary precautions are being taken. In fact, some of the businesses, ladies and gentlemen, you line up outside the door and they take your temperature to make sure you don't have a fever before you go in the business. They're sanitizing everything. In fact, one business operator in an article that I'd read about it said that after every customer, they sanitize the tables, they sanitize the floor, they sanitize the doorknobs, et cetera, et cetera. They're trying to make sure that between all customers, that the workers and the customers are all prepared and protected. Everyone having to wear a mask, et cetera, et cetera. My question is, what would be considered safe enough? What would be viewed as safety and taking the precautions that you can be exonerated if someone says that you have in some way harmed them health-wise? What else do they need to do, ladies and gentlemen, to be able to reopen? Now, I'm saying this hypothetically and yet sympathetically in the realization and the recognition that they must reopen. In fact, some restaurants, ladies and gentlemen, are putting plexiglass bubbles around the table and all the chairs where you sit. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to sit in a restaurant like that. In fact, I have said very blatantly and very openly, if I go to a place of business, you've got to take my temperature to get in, I'm going to turn and walk away. If you want to make sure that I wear a mask before I can go in your business, I'm not going in your business. It is my responsibility to take care of me personally. It's not your responsibility as a professional. It's not your responsibility as a business proprietor or owner for you to make sure that my health is taken care of. But we're in a suit-happy society today, and as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, we're finding multitudes of these merchants and businessmen and professionals are trying to go the 14th mile, not the second mile, but the 14th mile to make sure that they're being safe. They're running fearful, petrified of being sued by either the employee or the customer that may get COVID-19. Lawyers and law firms and consulting agencies are now all jumping on the bandwagon after the almighty dollar and trying to figure out how they can rake in on this new legal quagmire that we find ourselves in. I'm going to read just a blurb of this article, and then we're going to introduce our guest today. Here's an article that says, steps companies should take to protect themselves from legal fallout of the coronavirus. It's about a 6-page article. I'm going to read you 2 brief paragraphs. In addition to the humanitarian and public health dimensions of the outbreak, the coronavirus crisis presents complex legal issues for companies, including employment law, tort, contract law, insurance, disclosure, and other considerations. Companies should consider how to protect their employees and their productivity without running afoul of employment regulations, while at the same time making required disclosures, evaluating the extent to which insurance can mitigate losses, and protecting themselves from potential liability risk. Further in the article, and it talks about this article that I'm reading from, says this white paper offers a broad overview of some of the outbreak-regulated legal issues that companies around the world may face this year and following because of COVID-19. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have with us today on Let's Face the Issues, Dr. Randy Ray. Dr. Ray is with us as our guest today on Let's Face the Issues. Dr. Ray represents Citizens Against the Lawsuit Abuse, better known as CALA. Calla, I assume you would pronounce it. Welcome to our broadcast today, Dr. Ray.
Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood. It is a privilege to be with you. I've been listening to your intro to the program, and you have it exactly right. In fact, the last thing you mentioned, you talked about safety, and what's happening with COVID-19 is that safety is a moving target. It started out that we wanted to flatten the line, and then after that, it appears that we want to eradicate the disease. And one thing leads to another, and enough is never enough. And you're exactly right. Pandora's box has been opened up in lawsuits, and it's here we go.
Well, Dr. Ray, I am delighted that you have a grasp on the scenario. I know with most of our listeners, they're probably out in left field now wondering exactly what direction we need to take and what we're doing. Most of us as individual citizens, unless we have been in business or unless we have owned our own business, unless we have signed the check on the front side and not the back side during the course of our lives, we can't fathom what these professionals, these businesses and restaurants and so forth are faced with on trying to reopen. But Dr. Ray, do this for me, if you would, for the benefit of our listeners. Take a moment to tell our listeners about your organization. When did it start? How many chapters? And what is the intent? And what is it that we're going to discuss today?
Well, the Citizens Against Lawsuit Abuse is under the umbrella of the American Tort Reform Association, which began to start state chapters many years ago. I don't know exactly how many. Right now, there are 8 state chapters. Besides Florida, there is Illinois, Louisiana, California, Texas, West Virginia, Georgia, and Colorado. Now, abuse, obviously, is much wider spread than only 8 states, but these are the 8 states that have formally organized. I expect that there will be more. The website that folks can give, and you kind of referred to that earlier, it's very simple, CALA.com, CALA, Citizens Against Lawsuit Abuse, CALA.com. And in the course of this program today, if any of your listeners would like to engage and to become part of the effort, then they can go there. They can register as a volunteer, and someone will get back with them and give them the opportunity to engage in this state, in the state of Florida. Also, you can follow Florida CALA, or Citizens Against Lawsuit Abuse, on Facebook. And so there's this is an organization. This is a citizens organization, Dr. Youngblood. It's not a group of lawyers. It's ordinary people, consumers, everyday citizens, business owners, dads and moms and pastors. I was a pastor for 42 years, doctors and so on. And they have seen, and I have seen, the impact of frivolous lawsuits. And these citizens would like to speak out against the frivolous lawsuit or lawsuit abuse. And they would also like to be for tort reform to make this less of a litigious society. We are deep in the weeds of litigation in America. And this coronavirus, this COVID-19, I'll say this, as of May the 4th, and that's almost a month away, a month back now, there have been 800 cases already filed in the United States that's COVID-related. I would say that is at least doubled by now, and it's going to become a wildly popular litigation for, and I'll just say it, for billboard attorneys. It's going to be a wildly popular litigation for those for bad actors. And let me say this: that doesn't mean that there may not be the need for a real lawsuit in regard to this at one place or another, but you can be assured that what is going to happen is the same thing that happened after the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990. That was the go-to Achilles heel for litigation attorneys, and they went after that the absolute most and have for years and years, restrooms, handicap ramps, and then other things that you never even knew about but could be sued over. Well, the COVID-19 issue is going to open a whole new world to the billboard lawyers, and I think
Dr.
That,
Ray,
that the
system, if I can jump in for just a moment, you talked
absolutely.
About nearly 800 COVID-19 lawsuits. I've got an article on that. Nearly 800 COVID-19 lawsuits have been filed, according to the law firm's tracker. And the article, I'll just read a couple of paragraphs for our listeners to understand. It says, wondering what kind of lawsuits are being filed in connection with COVID-19 pandemic? A lawsuit tracker has the answer. Nearly 800 lawsuits have been filed over the novel coronavirus, and more than 230 of them dealt with prison conditions, according to the
right.
tracker data, which was last updated May 4th. After prison lawsuits, the next most popular were lawsuits involving insurance disputes, contracts, and civil rights, excluding the prisoner claims. Further in the article, it says the lawsuits targeted defendants such as hospitals, long care facilities, airlines, cruise lines, fitness chains, entertainment industry, and according to Washington Post, these were, statements were made. The most claims have been filed in New York, following by California, Florida, Texas,
right.
Illinois, Pennsylvania, and Washington. So you're on target with what you're saying, and I think that we need to be very understanding of that and recognizing it. But let me just pivot for a moment. When it
sure.
talks about the nursing homes, we find that in New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, the northeastern tri-state community, where about one-third of all of the deaths from coronavirus took place in nursing homes. Now, therein is what I would consider a legal remedy there for the family members of those that had died as a result of the direct orders by the governors, including the Governor Cuomo of the state of New York. In fact, New York alone, over 33% of those that died with coronavirus were as a result of the orders by the governor to take those with that had been diagnosed with COVID-19, put them in nursing homes. The nursing homes had no opportunity to say no. And at the same time,
right.
the Navy hospital ship is in dock, and out of 1,000 beds, they occupied about 23 at the highest number. So I think there is legal remedy there for the families. But what you're talking about and what we're talking about today in this interview is those that are frivolous lawsuits. And you say billboard lawyers. I've always called them ambulance chasers. You know, it's the law firms of Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. It's the law firms of that simply are looking out for a fast, quick buck. In fact, there's one of the major ones in the state of Florida and covering the United States like a blanket or hand glove on a hand that will – they've already been advertising on television. If you've been harmed or hurt as a result of COVID-19, call this number. And so you're exactly right. We need to be aware of that. But let me ask you a couple of questions, Dr. Ray,
sure.
in relationship
sure.
to this. Discuss what our businesses are faced with in relationship to reopening. I'm not talking about the nitty-gritty of the preparation of the equipment, et cetera, but what are some of the things, what are some of the hoops that they're trying to jump through? And you touched on it a moment ago, but it needs to be further elaborated on, I believe. Jumping through the hoops and the target is always changing. Speak to that today in relationship to the difficulty. We sit back as citizens, as consumers. We're wanting the business to open, but we don't understand. I think that most of us do not fathom the depth and the breadth of the problems that they're faced with. It's the reason I call it a reopening nightmare that's taking place.
And it absolutely is. And let me say this, I'm going to answer your question, but Citizens Against Lawsuit Abuse is not here to eradicate all lawsuits. No one is suggesting that willful or intentional criminal misconduct, recklessness, gross negligence, those things shouldn't be exempted. But the bread and butter of lawsuit abuse is outside of those parameters. They might find something, I mentioned this earlier today, they might find one big nugget and say, okay, here is the real thing. But then from there, they branch out and go into other areas and say, let's pan for more gold here. Let's see if we can find another nugget that isn't so obvious. And before long, you have got the whole stream full of litigation attorneys who are out there panning and trying to find new opportunities to sue. And the reason that they are able to do that is because the current tort law, and tort law is something that it's not a one law, it's a series of laws, but tort law has allowed for the expansion of definition, the expansion of parameters, and it literally is Pandora's box. You may walk in the door for one thing, but once you get in there, you say, let me look around and see whatever else I can find in here. And I'll say this, Dr. Youngblood. This is the absolute sadness of the whole thing. Anyone who is bound and determined to find litigation can walk into any church, any place of business, any place, any public building, and they can look long enough and they can find something that is a violation of some obscure law. One of the things that's going on right now with the nursing homes is that they're saying, I know the group you're talking about, it's Morgan & Morgan, but Morgan & Morgan and others have said that nursing homes had a responsibility to be prepared for this. No one was prepared for this. The world wasn't prepared for this. And so to think that some organization that's taking care of our moms and our dads and aunts and uncles and so on should have had a better handle on this than the world did in general is just ludicrous. But that will be the basis of these never-ending lawsuits. And they'll start at one place, but the end will go as far as the rope will take them.
That is exactly right. And that's what is frightening as we watch the reopening of America as it is so rightfully called today, and I'm concerned about it. But one of the things that I believe our listeners need to understand, God holds us responsible individually, not just collectively, but individually. I'm responsible for my health. I'm responsible for taking care of my health. And it's not the responsibility of a restaurant. It's not the responsibility of Home Depot or Walmart to protect me, other than those things that they know. You know, you can't slip on the floor because they failed to mop up the water, etc. I understand those things. What I'm talking about now, in particular with the COVID-19 that we're speaking about, Dr. Ray, we've got about 1 minute before our break for the news at the top of the hour. Would you speak for one moment in these final seconds before our break and tell our listeners again how they can find you, how they can find your organization, and speak very briefly, what can they do?
Well, thank you, sir. I, again, just go on the website. CALA.com, capitals or small letters, it doesn't matter, CALA.com, and from there you can sign up to volunteer, and after you sign up and give the information regarding volunteering, you'll get to choose what state you're in and so on, then someone will be back with you and they can explain how you can engage with your legislative leaders, and in the second half I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about some of the legislation that's beginning to be developed, and one in particular, and hopefully we'll be able to get some of your listeners involved.
CALA.com. Sounds great. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back after the top of the hour news. Just 1 minute. We'll be right back. We're talking with Dr. Ray today, Citizens Against Lawsuit Abuse.
To learn more, visit conservative.edu.